today is about Jesus. And what would happen if the resurrection never happened? We would have no hope. That's true. And then we would be believing a lie. And we would be actually deceived. We would be here for being here in vain. So the fact is, yeah, the resurrection of Jesus is the truth that makes or breaks our faith. Without the resurrection, we would have no need to assemble or worship. There would be no reason to read this book. It would not be even a holy book. There would be no reason to meditate on the Word of God if Jesus never rose again. Right? The resurrection gives meaning to the cross of Calvary. Why Jesus went to the cross. The resurrection verifies the meaning of the cross and that Jesus died for our sins. There's redemption because Jesus went to the cross. It provides salvation and access to eternal life with Jesus. So if Jesus did not rise from the dead, the New Testament would be a sham. Right? If Jesus is not who he said he was, then he was a false teacher. He'd be a liar. So can you believe the disciples, do you believe that the disciples would carry on a lie, a hoax, after Jesus ascended to heaven? So if Jesus never rose from the dead, do you believe that the disciples would carry on a hoax? Why is that? It's a hope. So since Jesus was raised from the dead, it is the proof of our justification. That the Father accepted the atonement of Jesus Christ on the cross. That was a perfect sacrifice. Now we have atonement. Upon the cross, the crucifixion without the resurrection would have been a failed mission at Calvary. So Romans 4:25. Romans 4:25. So that, what that means is when Jesus died upon the cross, the Father was so pleased and satisfied with his substitute, that he was a substitute for us. He was a sin bearer, that the death of the Father raised him up to the dead. Died as the Lamb of God. He was a substitute, taking our place. That's where we could actually have joy. He said, thank you, Lord, but I don't need to do these things in order to obtain or to get right with you. I simply have to put my faith and trust in Christ, his finished work, what he has done, what he has accomplished. Sometimes we think we have to do something. We just have to be obedient to God, to his word, to receive Christ. It's pretty simple for us to do, I think, sometimes. Sometimes we flop. If Jesus remained in the tomb, it would have indicated the Father did not accept the sacrifice on the cross for our behalf. Just trying to make us think about this. Why it's so important about the resurrection. To be actually thinking about why do we believe. There's so much evidence and proof proof of Jesus' resurrection, even outside the Bible. Right? We are not believing a lie. We should be excited. And so the resurrection of Jesus validates our sanctification that comes from Jesus. We live in the power that raised Jesus from the dead. That same power that raised Jesus from the dead, where does it abide now? In the believers. To live a life as a follower of Christ, it is impossible to do it in our own strength. Have you ever tried to live a life that honors God in your own strength? We try to. Because we always think, I could do it. We cannot do it. We can only live as a believer by the supernatural power that God gives us to live in this world, battle against demonic spirits, the flesh, who raises us into a new life. So Eric's going to read Romans 6:4. He used the mic.
No? Okay. We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of light, of life.
So you and I walk in the resurrection power of Christ as we take our walk with the Lord. Nina, can you read John 15:5?
I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing.
Nathaniel, 4:15.
I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me.
So it's Christ that empowers us and helps us.
Was she wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world but is also which is to come.
Because of Jesus, now he sits at the right hand of the Father. So we know everything that Jesus has accomplished and done. God glorifies him. He fulfilled everything. He was obedient unto death and for us. 1 Corinthians 15:3 to 8 says, For I delivered to you first of all that which is also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried. Then he rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen by Cephas, and then by the 12, and after that he was seen by 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. After that he was seen by James, then by the apostles. Then last of all he was seen by me also, as by the one born at a due time. Think about all that. After his death and his resurrection, he was seen by numerous amount of people. So one, it wasn't just one person. It shows you that he was alive. He was dead. They seen he was dead. The two disciples that were pouting and disbelief, because we could be the same way. Right? We could be those two disciples. Because we could pout and say, oh, God doesn't love me. God blew it. We doubt his word. And he comes along and encourages you. We could be those two disciples, walk around that road, totally forget everything that God has said to us. The words that he's being encouraged us by as we read his holy word, we forget so easily. He is there. That's why it's always good to write down when God is giving you a rhema word or a scripture that encourages you. And to even share your testimony of how God's been speaking to you. It's not just for you. It's for everybody else to be encouraged. Sometimes we forget that we all need to be encouraged at times. We're not in this walk by ourselves. Matthew 27:62. These are just references of the proof of the resurrection. And so on the next day, which followed the day of preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered together with Pilate, saying, "Sir, we remember when he was still alive," so they're talking about Jesus, "how that deceiver said, 'After 3 days I will rise.' Therefore, command the tomb to be made secure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away, and say to the people that he has risen from the dead. So the last deception will be worse than the first." Pilate said to them, "You have a guard. Go your way and make it secure as you know how." So they went and made the tomb secure, sealing the stone and setting the guard. So I was because I don't know some scriptures, does yours say guard or guards? Guard. So so according to the Greek and Roman, just by the antiquities of the Roman and Greek, how many people make up a guard? Four. So when they say guard, there's four people involved. Four, that was their unit. Their unit of four men was equal to one guard. So they would rotate throughout the night. Right? So they also sealed the entrance with clay, put a seal on it. And they imprinted with a royal imperial seal and attached to the stone and with a rope. Breaking the seal would incur the empire's wrath. Right? If you broke that seal, you would get punished by death. With the guards, if they fell asleep during that shift, any four of them, they would all be put to death. So they knew the seriousness of what was happening. And for disciples, they would know that these Roman guards, soldiers, right, they're trained how to kill people. So you think disciples will go after poor, go up to the tomb and try to steal Jesus' life. No. Right? Matthew 28:4, it says, it states that these guards were scared. They became like dead men because there was an earthquake. The Bible says the guards came rushing into the city to the chief priest and told him everything that had happened. They assembled together and gave a large... Here's their scheme. They're trying to cover up what actually happened. They assembled together and gave a large sum of money to the soldiers to falsely accuse the disciples of stealing the body. You know what the punishment was in the empire, the Roman Empire, for giving a false statement? Death. So a false witness was punished by death under Roman law. These guys, I don't think these guys, the soldiers, actually lived. Because either way, they said they fell asleep, that means they would die. They took a bribe, and they were going to die anyways. All we tried to do is cover up the truth of Jesus' resurrection. You know, I heard a thing yesterday. You know what city of Red Deer is celebrating today? Transgender Day. Today is Transgender Day in the city of Red Deer and other places. They try to cover up actually what has happened. Today is Resurrection Day. It's not a coincidence. They're trying to cover up the truth with a lie. That tells you the time that we live in. They're trying to cover up the lies. They're trying to cover up the truth, I should say, with a lie. It's despicable what Red Deer has done. Totally despicable. So they took the money. They didn't say if they died or not, but what we know of in the Roman time was certain death either way. Yeah, they left town. And so then in Mark 16, 1-8, talks about the angel appeared to the women at the temple, the empty tomb. Early on a Sunday morning, the faithful women of Galilee came to the splendor to anoint the body of Jesus with spices. They were anxious. They were anxious, and they had a challenge before them. And what would that be challenged to be able to anoint his body with spices? They had to get into the tomb. There was a big circle, I guess a wheel. And it weighed about, I don't know, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 pounds. It was a heavy wheel. And it was sealed. So how would you get in there? But what was happened? When they got there, the stone was rolled away. So the women entered the tomb, and they were terrified, and they seen the angel, and what does the angel say to them? Don't be alarmed. Don't be terrified. He encouraged them. He said, don't worry. He's not here. He is risen. He's not here. They see the place where he laid. Do you know where his burial clothes, where were they? They're folded up. Evidence that he rose again. Because if they stole their body, there would be no clothes there. But somebody would have to take them off. So Jesus took off his burial clothes and pulled them neatly. Because this does say that he left them there. That's evidence proving that he rose. And so the angel tells him, go and tell the disciples and Peter. And so they trembled, they ran and with trembling and bewildered, the women went and out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. Jesus appeared to Mary Magdalene the very Sunday morning. Mary Magdalene who experienced a transformed light. It's interesting how Jesus, with his first ones he met with who were they? Women. That's another evidence. Of that time, a woman's word was not really looked over. They're like, she doesn't know what she's talking about. Nobody would take their testimony from a woman because they would not believe women. It also had to take two women and say the exact same thing to equal one man's thing. But women were overlooked because they thought they must have been, seeing things. They didn't know what they're talking about. So they all dismissed the women. But Jesus, first ones that he met were the women. Because if you're making up the gospel, would you put that in there if you're covering up a lie? You would say, oh, no, Jesus met with the men. Okay, that would make more sense. But he met with women, proving that he rose. Evidence. They would not be credible eyewitnesses. So Jesus appeared to the disciples traveling to Emmaus. So he visited them. He opened up their eyes. They ran back. He encouraged them. Jesus appeared to Peter in Jerusalem during the day. If you were a ghost, could you see yourself during the day? He was physically there. He talked with them. You know, even despite Peter denouncing Christ three times, he still met with them. Jesus giving a special appearance to Peter gives us hope. When we fail the Lord, we have the assurance that Jesus still loves us and is waiting to meet us at the point of our spiritual need. 2 Timothy 2:13 says, if we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. So Jesus appeared to the 10 disciples in the upper room that evening when Thomas was not there. That's John 20, verse 19 to 23. And Jesus told them, all that he had taught them had come true. When he came in, the door in the upper room. Was the door open? What were the disciples doing? Mourning. They're scared. Petrified. Well, who are they scared of? The Jews. Because they thought they're going to be next on the chopping block. And Jesus comes through the door. And he says, what does he say? Peace. Because they thought he was a ghost. So he comes in, and what does he do? He shows them his wounds. He says, touch me. And he eats with them. Proving that he was in a real body. The body that we have. But without sin. A resurrected body. You know, when we die and we meet Christ in the air, we get a resurrected body that we don't have to deal with sin anymore in our lives. We could be perfect. In the twinkle of an eye, we'd be perfect. We'd meet Christ in the air. No more worry about sin. No more you have to worry about repenting. No more sin ever again after that. What a glorious day that would be. You know, Jesus came in and stood among them. The point here is that when he came right into the middle of their meeting, he did not come to the edge or call out through the wall or deal with them at a distance. He was in the midst of them. He was encouraging them in their faith. He wanted them to see him and know him and believe him and experience him. I think that's what Jesus wants for us today, is to experience him, to know him. And that's what I hope our commodities are. That we would know him. That we would trust him. That we rely on him. Knowing that he is truly resurrected from the dead. And he sits at the right hand of the Father. You surrender to the Holy Spirit. To let him touch your heart. Like no one else can. We have things in our hearts. In our lives. Wounds that we don't want anybody to touch. Things that we don't want to share with people. We trust the Lord, go to him and say, Lord, this is my heart. Lord, only you can touch those areas of my life to bring healing and restoration in those areas. Only Jesus could actually bring peace into our hearts. He's the only one to bring peace in those times. To have him help you in your fear, your doubts, no one else can help you in those areas. It's only through the Holy Spirit. Only Christ can actually heal those inner wounds. Help you. Are we willing to yield to Jesus and let him come into your heart, be your desire, to be close to you? He's not calling you from a distance, he's right beside you. I pray that this would be, today would be a different day. That you would recognize that he's with you. The wounds, the bondages that you are holding on to, that you're so fearful of letting go, and you're worried about, Lord, I don't want to be transformed. Because when we pray about, we sang it, Lord, you set me free. You broke in every chain. There's salvation in your name. Do we just sing it for the sake of singing it, or do I believe that in my heart? Why do we desire to carry on baggage? Why do we want chains to be wrapped around and pulled us down? What things in our lives do we need to be get broken off of us so we can actually trust him and depend on him and have our eyes of our hearts opened up to receive from him? He has proven he fulfilled the scriptures. He's proven that he's alive. Outside the Bible, there's people who are non-believers saying that he rose again. They see him. There's evidence without a shadow of a doubt. Truly want to set us free. Do I really want to be set free? You know, ten days later, Jesus appeared to the disciples with Thomas present. That's what we say to the doubting Thomas. Jesus appeared to Thomas. And what did Thomas say? I need to actually physically touch him. I need to really see if he's truly the Lord. And so Jesus says, put your fingers through my wounds. See where I've been, where the spear was. See where the nails went through my feet. You know, Jesus says in John 20, he says, then he told him, because you have seen me, you believe. Blessed are those who have not seen me, yet have believed. God gives us the faith. Logan, can you read Romans 10, 17?
So faith comes from hearing.
He gives us the faith. I don't have to muster up faith. Christ gives us faith. And as we continue to trust and walk in obedience, our faith grows. Because he's proving, without a shadow of a doubt, who he is. We get more dependent on him, reliant on him. Resurrection Sunday is proof that Jesus proclaimed. Proof what Scripture says. Proof that we are not believing a lie. It strengthens your trust. Builds faith in the risen Lord. Jesus promises you a new life. When we come to Christ, we're a new creation. We no longer need to live as we did before Christ. No longer need to say, this is who I was before. We don't need to say, this is what I was before. But Christ delivered me from that lifestyle. This is who I am today. I'm a new creation today. I'm a child of God today because of Christ. I am an ambassador. I'm no longer a sinner. We don't live in the past. We live who we are today. Finish with Romans 7. Revelation 1:7. Revelation 1:7, it says, "Behold, he is coming with clouds." This is his second coming. This is after the church's rapture. Right? This is his second coming. "Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him. For all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him." Even so, amen. When he comes back, they will recognize him, because he still has the wounds on him. We will recognize he's the Savior. The resurrection, the fact of resurrection is seen in the lives of the apostles and the disciples. It's even seen in our lives. You know that? The power of the resurrection is seen in our own lives. You know why you say that? Because there's been transformation in your life. You're no longer the same person that you were once were before Christ. Do not live the same way that you did before Christ. There has been a transformation in your life. You might not think there is one, but we spend time with people that you will see it, proving that Jesus, the resurrected life, lives in you. Proof that he lives. Proof that he lives within you. The fruit of the Spirit is being manifested through you. It's his fruit that's living and manifesting through you. You're just his vessel, proving of who God is. And so, Peter, who denied Jesus after the resurrection and ascension of Jesus, became a bold witness proclaiming the resurrection of Jesus. Can you remember Peter? He denied Christ. A little girl came up to him and says, "Oh, aren't you a follower of Jesus?" No. Right? But after that, at Pentecost, they were infilled with the Holy Spirit to have boldness to proclaim the gospel without fear of man. You don't have to have fear of man. The Holy Spirit fills us, seals us, gives us boldness to live a life that honors our Father. He enables you to live this life. So why would the disciples make up a story and risk their lives to tell a false story? They wouldn't. They lived with such boldness because they seen, felt, touched, ate with Jesus after his resurrection. For 40 days, they spent time with him, daily with him, seeing, learning, proving. Their lives were changed. They didn't care about death. They didn't care about being tortured. They didn't care about being whipped. They didn't care about that. All they wanted to do was to live for the Lord. So it was not a hoax. They were hearts are fully sold out for the Lord. You know, Peter would never have allowed himself to be crucified hanging upside down for a false story. Mark would not have been dragged through the streets to his death if he was defending fiction. James would not have been beheaded for a falsehood. Thomas would not have been pierced with a lance for a lie. Many followers of Jesus lived 40 years after the resurrection and ascension of Jesus, and not one denied that they had seen the risen Lord. I don't believe a lie. We believe the truth. And the truth of the Lord, the truth of the Bible says, the truth will set you free. The resurrection is a fact of history. Jesus is alive. Are you willing and ready to put your faith in Christ? Are you willing to accept His love and forgiveness? You know, Jesus is waiting for you to ask Him. Pray that today you'd be excited to say, Lord, I thank you that I don't have to live as I used to, but I'd be assured that you live, die, rose again, and that you continue to intercede for me day in, day out. He is alive, and blessed are you because you believe and not have seen. Don't go by your feelings as what it says. Trust me. So Lord, I pray that as you did to the disciples on the road, came up, Father, that you would break bread, that you would open up our eyes. That you would take whatever things that are hindering our eyes to see the truth. Lord, that you would break those things off our eyes, off our hearts. That we would see the truth. We fall in love with you. Desire you more and more every day. And I thank you, Lord Jesus.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. There's so much. Like Kyle was saying, there's just so much joy that can become overflowing as we begin to just ponder and give thanks and have a grateful, thankful heart, expressing, pondering his promises.
This is in Revelation. This is when he appeared to John. It says, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as if dead, but he laid his right hand on me and said, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. And the ever-living one. I died, but see, I am alive forevermore, and I possess the keys of death and Hades.
Amen. And I'm reminded, right, of that scripture where he says, if your earthly father, you know, if you ask him for fish, will he give you a snake? No. So how much more then, how much more perfect is our heavenly Father? And I find it interesting that he says that if you ask for the Holy Spirit, he will give it. Let's end this celebration with a song of joy, because there's joy in the house of the Lord.
We worship the God who was, we worship the God who is, we worship the God who evermore will be. He opened the prison doors, he parted the raging sea. My God, he holds the victory. Yeah. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. We won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. We won't be quiet. Shout out your praise.
We worship the God who was. Amen.
We worship the God who was. We worship the God who is. We worship the God who evermore will be. Jesus, He opened the prison doors and He parted the raging sea. My God, He holds the victory. Yeah. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. We won't be quiet. We'll shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. We won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. We shout out your praise. We sing to the God who heals. And we sing to the God who saves. We sing to the God who always makes a way. Cause He hung up on that cross and He rose up from that grave. My God, still rolling stones away. Yeah. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. We won't be quiet. We'll shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. We won't be quiet. We'll shout out your praise. We'll shout out your praise, Jesus. Cause we were the beggars, now we're royalty. We were the prisoners, now we're running free. We are forgiven, accepted, redeemed by His grace. Let the house of the Lord sing praise. We sing, cause we were the beggars, now we're royalty. We were the prisoners, oh now we're running free. We are forgiven, accepted, redeemed by His grace. Let the house of the Lord sing praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. We won't be quiet. We'll shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. We won't be quiet. We'll shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. We're through the house of the Lord today. We won't be quiet. Oh, we'll shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. We won't be quiet. We'll shout out your praise. We'll shout out your praise. We'll shout out your praise. We'll shout out your praise.
Right on, guys. Well, Father, I imagine that most of us will be venturing off to be with family or friends, and some that definitely do not know you, Lord. So, Father, I just pray, God, for just an extra measure, just a sensitivity to your Holy Spirit. Help us to hear your voice clearer, God. Help us to not be afraid to share, to speak the truth, Lord God. Help us to be bold but filled with love at the same time, God, in Jesus' name. And we ask, God, because it is by your Spirit and your Spirit alone, God, that people can come to you. And so we are asking, God, that you would just even right here, right now, just send your Holy Spirit, Father, to just work and soften the hearts of those that we'll be visiting with. In the name of our Lord Jesus, we just thank you that you are a God that is near, that you are a God that is here, and you're not far off. We thank you, God, that you see all and that you hear all and that you are for us and not against us. And help us to just bring hope wherever we go. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.